6 months until the election, and I have the one thing you need to do to keep you sane. Also, are restaurants going to disappear? Israel shuts down Al Jazeera. We're going to talk a little about grief and about things that you do that might be crazy.
Uncensored, unfiltered, unhinged. It's the Karellcast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
It is the Karellcast. I am Karell. So very glad I can be here with you today and so glad you're joining me. It is the 6th of May. We made it through May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. And Cinco de Mayo, my friend Stephen Cabral's birthday. It was yesterday, and we went out to a fabulous dinner at Ferraro's. And the day before, we went out and celebrated a little bit as well. And so, of course, if he's listening, if you're listening, Esteban Cabral, you know that you are one of my dearest and closest friends, and I would not be getting through this Daniel Charleston thing if you weren't here to help. So thank you very, very, very much for that. You know, and that was, I'm going to be a little all over the place for like the next couple weeks. Because I literally am going through grief, the intense, horrifying grief. And, you know, when you're in grief, you don't think clearly. You may, you know, there's a lot of things you may, some people just shut down, you know, just shut down. I'm hearing a noise. Are y'all hearing a noise? Computer, stop all music. I think I'm hearing music somewhere, so I had to stop that. Anyway. So, I want to talk about grief today because it really is, you know, I didn't really want to go celebrate with Steve this weekend. There's not one part of me that is really in the celebratory mood, if you know what I'm saying, because I have lost a friend. And so many of you may be going through some sort of grief. And, you know, I think America, you know, I think we go through some sort of grief, you know, in this country over things like, well, when 9/11 happened or over COVID or over, you know, and even Trump and the horrors of Trump, you know, grief is all around us, actually. And how we get through it, how we process it. And you don't get through grief, how we deal with it, how we deal with the grief. And you've heard me say on my show many times, as Americans, we don't. We really expect people, the loss of a pet, like your boss would expect you to go to work the next day if you lost your pet. I mean, if when Ember goes, that's I'll be out of commission for a while. And so I really believe that we should have bigger conversations about grief and about dealing with our own emotions. There's so much, you know, disappointment in the world right now. And disappointment is part of grief. You're sad, you're disappointed, you're not happy. This morning in the morning news, when I saw that, you know, it said the election 6 months away, here's how it's stacking up. And basically, it's either a dead heat or in some polls, Trump is actually 2 or 3 points ahead. At first, I felt terror, but then I really felt disappointment with my fellow Americans, disappointment that anybody would let this man anywhere near. And it's not about, it's no longer about ideological differences about Republican versus Democrat and what that used to mean. It used to mean Democrats were very into social programs, very into equality and all of that, helping gays, helping the disenfranchised, helping those who are marginalized. And Republicans were less about helping marginalized individuals and more about fiscal responsibility. At least that was what they projected. They, behind the scenes, they weren't about that at all. Never have been. But that's what they projected. They were like the dad of the country, and Democrats were like the mom. That's just gone out the window now. Now, the GOP is an actual criminal party, a party of criminals, not just one. But they are led by a horrifying criminal, and they let him take over, and they let him be in charge of their party. And there's nothing about this man that's redeeming. There's nothing about his policies that are redeeming. There's nothing about him. He's not charismatic. He stands there. He looks old, tired, and like he has shit his diaper. And I, all I feel is disappointment and, yes, anger. It is part of grief. I think we grieve. I think we're grieving over Donald Trump. I think we have grief. Grief. We have the anger. We have the denial. None of us have gotten to the acceptance stage. I certainly am not on the acceptance stage. And so I really believe that grief is such a part of American life nowadays. We are grieving the lives we had. They're gone. We can't afford them. We are grieving the loss of a future. We look ahead and we don't see a bright, shining country on a hill. We don't see ourselves having the bright future that we thought we once had, and we grieve that. I think a lot of what goes on in this country is rooted in grief, particularly as I'm in it right now. You know, Trump is, I don't understand. That's the other thing. It's not just grief. And part of grief is not understanding. I don't understand why Daniel Charleston's dead. You can tell me the reasons. Oh, this happened, that happened. It's like when someone commits a suicide. He didn't commit suicide, but it's like, not that if he did, there'd be shame in it. But, there, you know, you don't understand. You don't get it. You know, why did this happen? I don't understand. I don't understand the Trump phenomenon. The Trump phenomenon. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And that's because the man is such a mess. It's not like they've, you know, Hitler was in some ways charismatic. He was a strong figure at a time where there weren't any in that country. And he was angry and he spoke to their anger and he was quite an orator. Trump is not an orator. He doesn't give any kind of motivational speeches. So I don't get it. I don't get. And, you know, I'm not talking about the idiot MAGAs whose IQs are like 12. I'm talking about fully educated people who have a command of the English language and who at least know right from wrong. People who understand what is right and wrong. I don't understand how they are supporting him. I don't understand how he is anywhere near polling near Joe Biden. Biden should be at 70 or 80% when it comes to who's going to win the next election. The notion that a man on trial for giving money to an adult film star and then covering that up while his wife for an affair he had while his wife was pregnant, the notion of a man that stood on television and incited an insurrection where they literally tried to take over the country. A man who has committed a coup. The notion. It's just, it's beyond me. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I think that has led to the disappointment that I have in America. I am so disappointed right now in everything. And I know I got to snap out of it. It's not a good way to be on a Monday, and it's not a good way to be in America. But I'm terribly disappointed. You know, I went back to Long Beach Tuesday, Wednesday. I was so disappointed. You know, we met friends on Pine Avenue at Hamburger Mary's. And for one basket of fries and a club soda was $14. And I was so disappointed. I said, why are you gouging people like this? It was literally one potato. You know, one potato is a dollar. So it doesn't cost, you know, another $8 for you to serve that potato. Club soda is basically free to a bar. So why they charged $5 for a club soda? It was so disappointing to me. And then when we decided to go somewhere else on Pine Avenue, now think of Pine Avenue as lots of restaurants and places, you know, bars, nightclubs, a street that was every night of the week when I lived in Long Beach, there was something on Pine Avenue every night. You could go down there any night of the week and something was going on. On a Tuesday night last week on Pine Avenue, restaurants were closed at 8 o'clock. Half the restaurants are empty. And I don't mean with customers. I mean the buildings where restaurants used to be are for lease. AMC Pine Square theaters, empty, for lease. The entire street is a ghost town, and yet they're charging millions of dollars for condos on that street. To live in a place where The Walking Dead came out at dark. I swear to God, it was like a thriller video on that street. It really was. I expected half the people on the street to walk to the middle and all of a sudden go, because it was just a ghost town filled with The Walking Dead, homeless, undesirables, and businesses that were shutting down early because they had no customers. Nothing but disappointment. The traffic in Southern California was so disappointing. I'm like, you know what? It doesn't have to be this way. We could build our way out of this, but we won't. And it was so disappointing. All we are surrounded by these days is disappointment. You know, none of us, very few of us, have cause for elation, for joy, for, you know, my friend Tyler Bannister got married this last weekend, and I'm so happy for him. I am so happy for him. But part of me thinks, boy, I'd move out of this country if I were the two of you. You're young, you're talented, get out. So disappointment seems to be, you know, when the one thing we must do over the next 6 months, I guess, is not look at the polls. Because that's going to make it. This morning, when I looked at that poll that showed Biden and Trump in a dead heat, I thought, what the actual frack? I mean, what is going on here? How disappointing. How disappointing that there's enough Americans supporting this man to put him in a dead heat. That's so disappointing. It makes you not want to be here. It makes you just want to, like, I don't want to live in a country where people would vote for this guy. It's disappointment. And then, of course, there's the college. The college thing is still going on. You know, there's still repercussions happening. And meanwhile, Netanyahu's cabinet shut down Al Jazeera. And they didn't like the way they were reporting on the war. They shut them down. And, you know, I've screamed for us to shut down Fox News and OAN and Newsmax. And now that I see what it looks like when a government actually shuts down a media outlet, it made me cringe. Now, maybe it's for the best. Maybe it's the only way that Netanyahu sees, you know, for peace in his region or whatever. But shutting down a news agency, a government shutting down a news agency, that's foreign to us. And like I said, maybe it should happen here. You know, maybe Fox News should be pulled off the air. Maybe OAN and Newsmax should. Maybe they're causing the downfall of our country. Or the, you know, they're helping it. But at the same time, it's such a bad look when a government shuts down a media outlet. It just makes that government look almost illegitimate. Like they've got something to hide. I don't know, how do you guys feel about that? I'd love to hear your comments down below. First of all, are you as disappointed as I am in things that are happening around you right now? You know, I keep seeing people posting on social media, I bought these groceries for X amount of dollars at this store. Now it's become, I don't know, something to be proud of if you can get out of a grocery store with items that you need for under $100. You know, that makes me think of the topic, and Long Beach made me think of the topic too that I mentioned. Are restaurants going away? I don't see how restaurants are going to survive because we can't afford them. The mega rich restaurants will stay that cater to the very wealthy. But the average restaurant whose ticket price or whose menu options are between, say, $15 and $50 an entree, you know, those restaurants, I don't really see how they're going to stick around. And cheaper restaurants aren't cheap anymore. You go to a cheap restaurant where you used to get, like, say, a veggie burger and fries, you know, and maybe an iced tea, and you used to get all that for $9.99. Now it's $25. And so I know that you've cut back. I'd like to hear from you guys about that, too. Have you cut back? Do you go out? I love to go out to eat. Do you go out to eat? You know, Do you guys go out to eat very often now? My friend Brandon went out with Kai, his three-year-old, bought his three-year-old a crepe, and the crepe was $22. We can't afford that. Restaurants are going to keep disappearing like they are on Pine Avenue in Long Beach. Are you noticing it in your world? I'd like to hear from you. Are you going out as much? And do you find that your restaurants are disappearing? They're just not there. I see them.
Hey, Carell here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the patrons at Patreon. Your support means the absolute world to me and the show. If you'd like to show your support for the crazy endeavors of the Carell cast, then please go to patreon.com/reallycarell. That's patreon.com/reallycarell. And please help get those numbers up by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/reallycarell. There's so much great free content there. It's like having a network on your TV, phone, or tablet. All social media is Really Carell, including Threads and Instagram. And don't forget the website that's had it all along, reallycarell.com. Without your support, the show simply doesn't work. So please listen on all streaming services, watch and subscribe on YouTube, and support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/reallycarell. Thanks for almost 30 years of support to the loudest, craziest, most unhinged gay guy and his little dog. And let's keep the party going as long as we can.
You know, the news is backing me up on the restaurant thing. Every time I go to the San Francisco Chronicle, every time there's a story, beloved San Francisco restaurant closing its doors after 60 years, after 10 years, after 20 years. You know, when I went to San Francisco, restaurants there, ghost town. Downtown, off of Market and everything, used to be a huge, thriving area where there were tons of restaurants for all the people that worked down there. And, you know, and they were okay priced, moderately priced, gone. Just gone. Our way of life is disappearing right in front of us. And the only people whose way of life isn't disappearing are the wealthy. Middle class, lower middle class, poor people, their way of life is just disappearing. The ability for people that make under $100,000 a year to go to restaurants, go to movies, go to music festivals, go to a concert, all of that, it's disappearing. And we think we're, you know, oh, well, that's okay. I can stay home and just watch my TV. That's a drug. I thought a lot about addictions. I have, you know, with Daniel dying, and we don't know why he died. So maybe he was doing a drug that I wasn't aware of, or maybe, I don't know. We don't know yet. And so in my brain, I've racked up 1,000 ways. Was he doing some drug that maybe I didn't know about, and it was laced with something or something? Or was he just, you know, doing a drug occasionally, like on weekends or something, and it was a bad drug? I mean, I don't know. We don't know. But I think all of us are medicating in ways. We're binge watching TV shows to make us forget reality. We are, you know, drinking more. Alcohol is up. People still smoke tobacco. Cannabis use is up. You know, food. We've become so addicted to eating that now we have to have injections to make it so we're not big lard asses. Oh, I criticized Ozempic and Wegovy online. I simply said, look, you know, even I have been offered them, but I'm afraid to go on it because I just don't know what's going to happen in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, you know, after you inject yourself with this stuff for so long. And, oh, the people came for me. Oh, my God. You're fat phobic. You want people to be fat. You don't want people to be healthy. And I'm like, look, I'm still not to the point where I don't believe they're a lazy way out, because that's what we've become, a lazy nation. That's how we became lard asses. We always want the easiest way out of anything. If it's going to take work as a culture, we kind of don't want to do it. We don't want to fix all of our roads. We don't want to build high-speed rail. We don't want to make enormous changes in our society because it would require us to actually work at it. It might require us to suffer. It might require our lives to change. And so, no, I don't want to do that. So science has come along with a way for you to stick a drug in your body once a week or twice a week with a shot or once a day, however they take it, and suddenly you lose weight. Oh, you mean I don't really have to watch what I eat? I just won't want to eat. And, oh, I don't have to exercise that much and I can lose weight? Give me the shot. That's lazy. If you're not a diabetic, that's lazy. And I don't care what anyone says. You can cancel me or whatever. If you're taking Ozempic and Wegovy or Wegovy and you are not a diabetic and you don't have some metabolic disorder that is causing your obesity, then you simply don't want to put in the work. You know, you don't, because it's hard. I know it's hard. I want to lose 25, 30 pounds, and it's hard. I like to eat. You know, I like food. I love all the vegan food I make and I discover, and I like desserts a lot. Desserts are my weakness. That's what keeps this weight on me, desserts. I love to bake cookies, cakes, pies. I love creams and pastry creams and all of it. I would be a big, huge, fat dessert chef in another life. I love dessert. I love them. Oh, my God. And I like intricate ones, too. I like, you know, cakes with intricate icings or, you know, things like, you know, not tiramisu because I don't like coffee. But you know what I'm saying? It like intricate desserts are fabulous. Simple desserts like chocolate chip cookies. Oh, God. I love them. So I know why I'm fat. I do. And portion control. I eat three meals a day that I cook, and every meal is a full meal. And you can't really eat a full meal every time because a full meal is about 800 calories. And three of those, that's 2,400. That's too many, even though I'm exercising. And yes, if I took the Wegovy or the Ozempic, I'd sit down to my full meal, and then I wouldn't want it. But what's wrong with me just cutting everything? That's what I started today. Today, Monday. I'm cutting all of my portions in half. When I sit down to a lunch that I've made, I'm cutting it in half, putting half away. It's going to be my new strategy. Half. Half. We'll see if it works. I hope it does. Because I don't want to go on the drugs. I would feel badly if I would too. I'd feel like I was defeated. If I had to go on a weight loss drug, knowing what I know about weight loss, I would feel kind of defeated. I'd feel like, well, you know, this just means you're not trying hard enough. So I don't want to do that. So we'll see. Okay, so let's talk about something fun here for a minute, because I'd like for you to put down below what you do, because we all do something. So before I came on air today, so it's windy out. It's been windy out. When it gets windy out, Ember goes under the bed, okay? And so she just feels safe under there. And I don't see her for hours. Now, that's abnormal. I see Ember all day, every day, all night, every night, except when she's under the bed. And so I know she's under the bed. And I know that I haven't opened the front door. Okay, I know this. Beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I know that she's not going to jump over the balcony. Okay, I know that. I'm on the second floor. Yet, because I hadn't seen her for a few hours, what did I do before I did the show today? I got down and I looked at her under the bed just to make sure she's there. I hadn't seen her for hours. And I thought, well, I haven't seen her for hours. And so I looked under the bed. There she was, of course, looking right back at me. But it just made me feel better to triple check. Now, that's crazy. I mean, she was around at breakfast. I haven't opened the door since breakfast. You know, she's not going to jump off the patio, and she's not going to dematerialize somewhere. There's nothing in this house that she could get into that could harm her. And yet, before I came on air, I had to go find her. What do you do? That's crazy. Because that's crazy. So what do you do that's bonkers? What little habit do you have that, you know, it's irrational? It's like, why am I doing this? But you do it anyway. One of those things for me is I have to, every few hours, I just have to physically see Ember. Even though I know she's in the house, I know she hasn't left, you know, I have to see her. It's like, okay. It's like having a kid. You know your kid's in the bedroom, or you know your kid's downstairs, or you know whatever, but you just got to go check and make sure they're there. You know, they're okay. There they are. Do you do something weird like that, or is it just me? It could be just me, but I think some of you out there do weird stuff like that too. You know, you go check on someone that you actually know is there already, or... You know, you got to do something. Maybe it's a little OCD. You know, I'm not sure. But that is one thing that I do here at the house that is kind of nuts. nuts. It's like, well, that's nuts. What else do I do that's nuts? Oh, it used to drive Andrew crazy. If before I leave the house, I have to clean the kitchen. There cannot be any dirty dishes in the sink. There can't be any clean dishes drying on the side of the... The kitchen has to be presentable before I leave the house. The stove can't be dirty. And now, in fairness, a lot of times I will leave the house and come back with somebody. I'll meet a friend out. I'll meet a new friend or whatever. Or I'll come home and a neighbor will be here. Sometimes when they're showing apartments around here and people ask what mine looks like, I'll let them come in and see it. And so before I leave, I clean the kitchen. Also, before I go shopping, I always check my balances. No matter where I'm going, grocery store, wherever, I always check the bank to make sure there's money in it, because I grew up in a situation where sometimes my parents would go shopping and not have enough money. And so now, whenever I go out and go shopping, even to this day, I check the bank account or I check the credit card balance or whatever. And it's always fine, but I still check it. I'll just quickly launch an app and, okay, yeah, okay. You know, I'll know there's money in my SAG-AFTRA account. I have a SAG-AFTRA checking account, and that's where I keep my, quote, mad money. It's not very much. It's a couple hundred bucks a month for lunches and things. But I'll always check it before I leave to make sure before I go to lunch that there's $20 there for lunch. So I clean the kitchen before I leave. I always check bank accounts before I go shopping. If Ember is missing or just I haven't seen her in a few hours, even though I know no one's come in or out and the door has not been opened, I will still go find her. So what are the things that you do that people would consider crazy? Like, well, that's a little crazy. We all do stuff that's a little crazy. You know, so the same with routine. My routine of exercise and eating breakfast with Ember and playing ball with Ember at night and all of that, I will make sure that in my schedule, and no matter where I am in the world, her ball machine comes with me. I bring my own oatmeal and my own fruit for the mornings, and we have our mornings. We wake up, I have my oatmeal and fruit, she has her moist food that I make for her, and then we go, I do yoga or weights, and then we go for a walk. No matter where I am in the world, that's my morning schedule. And whether I'm traveling or whatever, I get up. If I have to get up at 3 a.m. so I can do that schedule before traveling, then I will. There's no such thing as, oh, I'll just skip weights today, or I'll just skip my yoga today, or we'll just go on a short walk because we got to be somewhere. Nope. We're going to do 2 miles. I'm going to do 30 minutes of yoga and weights, and we're going to have breakfast. That's going to happen. And then we're going to do dinner. And after dinner, whether, like, we went, when Steve and I went to dinner, it was at 6 o'clock for his birthday last night. And I fed Ember at 5, and I didn't have time to play ball. So I fed her. I give her a little walk. We went to dinner because she went, of course. And then I got home at 9 o'clock, and guess what we did? Played ball. Did the rest of the walk. Yep, because it had to happen. Now, I know that is OCD, but I like those things. I like playing with her. I like walking. I like exercising. I like eating right. So I make sure that those fit into my day. Some call that crazy. They're like, you can miss one day of exercise. You can miss one day of walking her. You can miss one day. Yes, I can, but I'm not going to. So what do you do that's a little crazy? What routines are you in that you just won't get out of? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, turning a door handle 3 times before you. That's OCD. I'm talking about what habit do you have that others might consider crazy? Like making sure the kitchen's clean every single time before you leave. Every day before I leave the house, the kitchen is picked up. Because the day I went to the hospital for the shingles and got admitted for the meningitis, I didn't finish cleaning the kitchen. And when I came up from the hospital, I had my 2 bowls in the sink, my wash bowl and my rinse bowl. And the water was all tepid because it'd been there for 3 days. And you know, because I forgot to empty out the water that I washed the dishes in before rushing to the hospital. So what do you do? All right, I am Karell. You be who you want to be, so I don't hurt anybody. We'll be back on Wednesday. I'd like to hear from you on a bunch of things today, so put that all down below. To my patrons, I love you. Why don't you, one of you become a patron? Why not? Patreon.com/ReallyKarell. Come on, honey. It's brunch.
broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Carellcast on your favorite streaming service.